a t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at schwabvious.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Football League Transfer Rumour Mill with me, Johnny Burrow. Tonight we are, of course, zooming in on the Championship, League One and League Two. And I have to say, I've got a special mission this evening, which is to attempt to identify the players in those leagues who wouldn't only strengthen other teams in their division, but who could make that step up one, maybe even two tiers to the higher level. First up, who could do it from the Championship? I'll be talking to Gab Sutton, owner of the Football Lab, to get his take. Aston Villa, heading up to the Premier League, and they're being linked with a range of players. For example, Kemar Roof of Leeds United. That's if we believe Bristol Live. We're hearing about managerial deals as well, by the way. Thierry Henry could be on his way to Swansea. Imagine that in terms of glamorous destinations. Where were you last, Thierry? I was manager of Monaco. Where are you off to now? Swansea. Don't worry, I've heard it's lovely this time of year. And Middlesbrough, of course, are in for Dwight Gayle. That's if we believe the Daily Star. I want to get into Dwight Gayle as a player because I find players of his ilk very, very confusing. Now, when I say his ilk, I'm not saying poachers, I'm not saying goal scorers. What I'm saying is these players who excel at Championship level, and then whenever they're afforded an opportunity at that higher tier in the Premier League, and Gayle has been given those opportunities, he had a go at Palace, he had a go at Newcastle, it doesn't work in the same way. I find it very, very difficult to judge which players, particularly goal scorers, can make the step up from the Championship, who's going to struggle. There is nothing about Dwight Gayle's game that shouldn't apply in the Premier League. He's not exceptionally quick. He's certainly not exceptionally physical. It's all about movement. It's all about finishing. It's all about speed of thought. Surely that should apply. Could he make the step? We'll also be talking about this potential Leeds takeover bid. I'm delighted to say I'm going to have Mickey P. Kerr, the stand-up comedian and Leeds fan, on the line. What's going on? So the Independent today have reported that there actually isn't going to be a takeover bid at all, that this is all conjecture. But various other publications, by the way, lots of serious newspapers in this country and abroad, reporting that Leeds have been speaking to PSG owner Nasser Al-Khelaifi over a potential takeover. Now, this would be spectacular. This would be absolutely ludicrous, frankly, because we've seen the big money come into football. This is nothing new. We saw it back in the early noughties when Roman Abramovich came to Chelsea. We've seen it recently with the regime at Manchester City and, of course, at PSG. But we haven't yet seen an oil billionaire go full football manager. We haven't seen them go, you know what, it's more interesting if I start a level down. I've got the perfect club. Leeds United, they are set up as the narrative journey, aren't they? The once great fallen club, formerly of Champions League semi-final fame, then scrapping in League One. You can bring them back. You've got the ultimate madcap manager in Marcelo Bielsa, a man better known last season for getting spies to hide in bushes than he was for any kind of tactical invention. And you've also got the myth, the legend, the likes of Harry Kewell, Tony Yeboah at the back. The question, though, and this is one that I want to come on to, is why are we seeing so many bids? Now, this is a transfer rumour show. We're dealing with bids of all kinds, but I'm not just talking about players here. I'm talking about takeover bids. This is nothing new. In the last week, we've seen Newcastle heavily, heavily linked with a bid from the cousin of Manchester City's owners. We've seen Sunderland linked with a multi-hundred million pound deal for them as well. Interesting that these guys are targeting historic football clubs, major football clubs. They're doing that not just for the narrative, by the way, not just for the drama, but also commercially. These guys know what they're doing. And if you tap in to a club like Leeds, a club like Newcastle, yeah, okay, at the moment, they aren't competing up at the very top end of the Premier League. But these clubs have huge fan bases, huge captive markets, huge stadia, and a great basis to build from. And I'm sure if you're a Leeds fan, you're sitting there listening to this and thinking, you know what? This is really exciting because, as I discussed already in the show, when you've got the likes of Villa circling for your star striker in the form of Kemar Roofe, when you've got foreign clubs, if Calcio Mercato are to be believed, targeting your star centre-back in Pontus Janssen, a new owner doesn't just enable you to go, no, you know what, lads, do one. It enables you to bring in players of your own. But as a football fan, as a neutral, as someone who was watching the game before all of this money really exploded with the introduction of Sky and so on and so forth, does it make you a bit sad? Because if we get to the point where it's not just City, Chelsea, PSG, you're dealing with Newcastle in there, you're dealing with Leeds, is what we're getting into now a financial arms race? Now, I'm not someone who's against the involvement of money in football. I understand, firstly, that it's a fundamental part of the game now. That's not going to change. And I also completely recognise and admire just what it has done for the game. We see fantastic players week in, week out, the likes of Sergio Aguero, who are here on these shores operating in the way they do because of that money. But at the point where we reach a world where every big club has a super club owner, I'm not interested anymore. I'll be honest, my love of this game will go. Because if it's a case of not just who's got the best manager, but who's got the deepest pockets, and yeah, there are going to be cynics listening now going, it's already that, the richest clubs succeed. That is to an extent true. But at the point where everyone is slogging it out, paying hundreds of millions of pounds for players, it isn't where we should be. So we're also going to focus on the other end of the spectrum. I'm going to be looking at Aston Villa's potential transfer activity, of a rather more modest sort, by the way, as they're promoted to, one would suspect, the lower end of the Premier League table. I'm going to be joined on the line by Luke Hatfield, who covers Villa for The Express and Star. Now, I've been looking at the Villa links. We've talked about Kemar Roofe. They're also in for Neil Etheridge of Cardiff. I think that's a realistic deal. It would be a good deal. He made the second most saves in the Premier League last season, but he was with relegated Cardiff. Similarly, Villa are apparently in for Neil Morpay of Brentford, if we believe Reed Norwich. Now, what do all of these guys have in common? Well, every single player I have seen Villa link with since they got promoted, they're not coming from abroad. They're either coming from a relegated Premier League team, a mid to top table championship team, or even, in the case of Joe Aribo previously, a League One team. The question we're going to be asking tonight isn't, is that shrewd business? Is it enough? Because if we take the Cardiff example from this season, Neil Warnock targeted the likes of Murphy. He targeted the likes of Bobby Reid. It's lazy. I'm saying it's lazy scouting. You can say, oh, it's privileging the English game. It's giving British talent a chance. I don't care. I really don't. If the extent of your scouting regime is, well, he looked quite good against us for Bristol City, you're going to get spanked and you're going to get relegated. I'm happy to be proven wrong. If I'm talking nonsense, get in touch. You can ring me or WhatsApp 0208 7020 558 is that number to call. But I think clubs need to be being braver. They need to be more ambitious and they need to look further afield. But coming up, who from the Championship, if anyone is good enough, can actually do it? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Football League Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Gab Sutton, who is owner of The Football Lab. Gab, lovely to speak to you. Thank you for joining me. Tonight, what we're discussing is who from the Championship could make that step up to Premier League level. You may have just heard I'm a bit sceptical of this if it's a club's sole recruitment strategy, but there are going to be gems in the mix. With that in mind, let's start with some rumours we've seen already in the press. Bristol Live reporting that Aston Villa are in for Kemar Roofe. Now, he's been impressive for Leeds this season. He was impressive for Oxford long before that. Is he good enough?
Well, I think the important thing about Kemar Roofe is that he's a very selfless striker, and I think that when Leeds have had him in the team, he's harried defences and he's really pressed from the front and he's kind of led them in lots of ways. And I think that's been crucial to the way Marcelo Bielsa wants to play. When they've not had Kemar Roofe in the side, hasn't really worked to quite the same extent. So I think that you'd look at that in terms of his influence on that lead side. And if Aston Villa can't get Tammy Abraham back, then, yeah, I'd suggest it'd be a good option for them.
Call me a cynic, Gab, but I'm looking at Kemar Roofe's stats, and I take your point about working hard, harrying defences, offering more to the team than just goals. But 32 games played, 14 scored in the Championship, 2 assisted, a goal every 173 minutes. In a league where guys are looking at edging 30 goals in a season, that's not good enough, is it? I know he's going to add stuff, but for Villa, at that top level, they're going to need a striker who can score them 10-plus Premier League goals in a season, and I'm not sure that Roofe can do that.
Well, I take your point, but what I'd also say is that I think as a result of having Kemar Roofe in that side, you create more chances than other teams, and I think sometimes we're very quick to judge strikers on goals, and actually sometimes need to judge them more on how many chances do the team create collectively.
So if Kemar Roofe allows Jack Grealish to score another 5, then that's enough?
I would say so, yeah. I think the important thing is if you've got a striker that's making very sort of selfless runs into the channels, sort of away from goal scoring positions, then common sense says that other midfielders or wingers are going to have more space to pop up into the goal-scoring areas. Whereas if you've got someone who finishes very well and gets into goal-scoring positions a lot, they're going to score a lot of goals, obviously, but then there's going to be less chances for other players. So I think it's slightly misleading to look entirely at somebody's goal return. Billy Sharp, for example, I mean, he's been fantastic for Sheffield United in terms of finishing. In my opinion, he's not as good a striker as Kemar Roofe, because I don't think he's as good at the other side of the game, in my opinion.
I like all of that. I like it in the sense that we want to see football be clever and we want to see it operate as a team rather than just a star player. But could one not argue that at the bottom end of the Premier League, which is where I suspect Villa will be, you just need a striker who scores goals? I know it's unsophisticated. I know it's frustrating. But would you not rather have a guaranteed 15 goals than a sort of quite hard to quantify addition to the team?
It's an interesting one, really, because I think if you're in the Premier League, common sense would suggest that you're up against a higher calibre of player and therefore you've got to do more defending. So actually you could argue that it's even more important in that situation to have a striker that's going to do a lot of work off the ball,
okay,
especially if you're only playing one up top, a lot of work running the channels and chasing lost causes and all this sort of thing. So I'm not sure I'd agree that I would look at a goal scorer.
That's an interesting point. My worry, on the other hand, is that if you play one up top and he's working and not scoring, you better have a good 3 behind him, or however many it is you're playing. You really need those goals to come from midfield. As a final point on Roofe, I think you've made a very compelling case for his signing. Do you think he is good enough for Premier League level?
I think so, yeah. I think he took a little bit of time to adjust to the Championship when he was at Leeds. Obviously had that fantastic season at Oxford and then went in 2016. Probably didn't sort of hit it off instantly, and then, you know, took a couple of seasons to settle in. But then once Bielsa came in, he sort of revolutionised him, and using him as a centre forward, as a focal point, has really worked. So I would suggest that he is ready for that next step up.
Wonderful stuff. And in terms of, I mean, I know you're a man who's absolutely expert on all things Championship football. You've been watching it with an eagle eye all season. Is there anyone else who stands out to you as someone who can make that step up?
Well, I think I'm excited to see how Norwich get on in the Premier League, because I think they've got some excellent young players. I personally think that Max Aarons, I think he only made his debut this season, and he's been one of the best, probably the best right back in the Championship, competing with Reece James at Wigan, maybe, who's another player I think it could probably play for Chelsea in the next few years. I think he's that good. So I would look at Max Aarons and Reece James as two players with real potential. I think someone like Tottenham, I mean, Kieran Trippier hasn't had a particularly brilliant season for Tottenham off the back of the World Cup. I think Max Aarons would probably improve Tottenham's squad. There's a lot of exciting young players in there, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of them step up to the Premier League.
You're obviously a fan of lots of that talent in the Championship, and I'm sure believe that lots of them can do the job. I've got a question about recruitment more broadly for you, because I'm always sceptical of clubs who do the bulk of their recruitment from the Championship, from League One, or from relegated sides when they go up, because it always, apart from anything, strikes me as indicative of a lack of ambition, a lack of willingness to take a risk. Are you not more likely to get a Riyad Mahrez by looking further afield than just going, yeah, all right, he was quite good for Preston, so let's see what he can do? I mean, Warnock tried it with Cardiff this season, and yeah, they scrapped and they fought, but ultimately, they didn't have enough quality.
Well, there is that. I would say that a lot of it depends on the budget that you're working with. I think that if you sign someone from the Championship, they'll have already had at least a year to settle in this country. So I suppose from a personal point of view, I mean, if I think about it, if I was sort of moving house and moving to sort of Sweden, for example, I would find it very challenging, and that would be reflected
in work. Are
you not fluent? Say again?
Are you not fluent in Swedish already?
I'm not fluent in Swedish, no. But no, I mean, seriously, I think these are the things that we sometimes overlook. So I think if you recruit someone that's had at least a year in the Championship, then they're more settled in this country from a personal point of view. And I think if they've shown potential at that level, then I would say that's a good starting point.
Yeah, I take your point. But they're not cheap, are they? I mean, if we look at Kemar Roofe, if we're believing the rumours, he's going to cost £10 million quid plus. You can buy players from Ligue 1, you can buy players from the Bundesliga, you can buy players from the Serie A for that. I mean, if we look at this young winger, Clark, at Spurs, if we're believing rumours, he could be off there for £20 million. And if we believe other rumours in other places, then Cengiz Under, who is the highly rated young Turkish winger, who's already an international football at Roma, playing in the Champions League, is only going to cost them £24 million. So it's not like you're necessarily getting a bargain either.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know how much the other player you mentioned is in terms of age. I mean, Clark's
21. 18,
so he's 21, okay. I mean, if you're looking at Clark who's 18, wingers can probably go until they're sort of 28, maybe. So you've got 10 years of Clark sort of either moving into his peak or getting up to that point. So and with the rise of inflation, I would suggest that the dynamics of that deal would look different in future. So I think that's an important point to recognise.
Oh, yeah, and they could make masses of money on him.
Well, they could, exactly. And the other thing to realise is that I'm not 100% sure on the specifics of the rules, but I think having an English player helps the homegrown quota in terms of squad registration. So I would say that comes into it as well.
And Tottenham, in particular, are completely desperate for homegrown players. They had to register a man fewer in their squad this season simply because they didn't have enough. Gab, you put a wonderful case forward for the Championship and its quality. Just leave us with one more name who you could see making the step up to the Premier League this summer.
Well, it's an interesting question. I'm a massive fan of Jack Grealish, who we've mentioned already. I think he's a top six Premier League player, in my opinion. I'm also excited to see Lloyd Kelly at Bristol City. I think he's a real talent, sort of on the left of back three for them. I think he's only about 20, and he's shown real potential in his first year or so in the Championship. So I would say in future that could be one to look out for.
Wonderful stuff. An excellent tip as ever. Gab, thank you for your time. Gab Sutton there, owner of the Football Lab. I think I'm being a bit negative, frankly. I'm being very rude about Kemar Roofe. The point about working hard is fantastic, but they need to score goals. And I think if Villa go up, they play one striker and they go for an Emil Heskey, they're going to have a tough time. But one Championship team who might not be having a tough time at all are Leeds, if the back papers today are to be believed. A takeover bid from PSG's oil-rich owners. It could change the face of Leeds. It could change the face of Northern football. And in just a moment, I'll be chatting to stand-up comedian and Leeds fan Mickey P. Kerr.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And it's not just potential deals for players we talk about. It's also deals for managers. And this window, it seems to be deals for clubs as well. The latest rumour is that Leeds United could be in line for a new owner, and one with a few quid behind the back of the sofa. It's PSG owner Nasser El Khelaifi. Nothing confirmed yet. I'm delighted to say it's a real honour to be joined by Mickey P. Carr, stand-up comedian and Leeds fan. Good evening, Mickey. Thank you for joining me. How likely is it that we're going to see oil billions at Ellen Road?
Good evening. Hopefully, very, very, very likely. I'm thinking a straight swap, Mbappe for Bamford, potentially.
It sounds fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Coutinho's not doing much at Barcelona, is he? You know what? There's apparently a 10% stake, I've heard. There's all sorts of, it's the rumour mill going crazy. So I've heard it's between 7 and 10 million, which isn't a vast amount of money, to be honest. But we'll have to wait and see, because it's Leeds United, so you've got to remember that anything could go wrong at the last minute. We'll probably completely bottle it last 10 minutes and nothing will get signed. But fingers are crossed we do get some investment. Although we have got investment from the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, that we've been sitting on. So it's all a bit of a mystery financially at Ellen Road at the minute. We do know that Radrizzani, our owner, isn't keen on selling his majority stake.
No.
So it's a minority one, but I mean, any investment from the owners of PSG would be incredible, as they have put, I mean, 200 million for Neymar just said it all, doesn't it?
It does. Although I think there's an argument for saying even at Leeds, Neymar probably wouldn't be all that welcome. He's clearly a bit of a troublemaker. In terms of the likelihood,
he's the most overrated player in world history, mate.
You know what, Mickey? My dad says that. Whenever we watch telly together, I try and argue Neymar's a decent footballer, and my dad goes, no, he's rubbish and he's got silly hair. And the silly hair, I think, is the sticking point for him.
Yeah, he has got silly hair, but so am I. So I accuse him of having silly hair, personally. But he's, a lot of Brazilians are overrated. Have you ever read a book called Soconomics?
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah, a great book. And that talks about blonde kids are always scouted more, and Brazilians are always more expensive.
I've missed a trick there. If my mum had been there with the bleach, I'd been having a laugh. Do you mean that if James Milner were called James Milnerinho, he would suddenly be much more highly rated?
Not half. I mean, to be fair, Milner has been underrated his entire career.
He's a fantastic player.
And he's won everything in the English game, and he's won the Champions League now as well. I mean, there's all sorts of rumours about him returning to Leeds, but I mean, I could see it if we were in the Premier League.
There's rumours of him to PSG as well, so maybe he could go to PSG and then get loaned to Leeds, obviously.
He could do a job, yeah, just a swap, yeah. We'll have Mbappe, we'll have Milner. And then you can keep Neymar.
You can have him. You can have him. He's got silly hair. Obviously, we don't know how likely this deal is to happen. The Independent are reporting that it won't. Various other papers are reporting that it will. But just for a moment, Mickey, let's allow our imaginations to run wild. Let's assume that you do have those PSG oil millions. What's the plan? If you were in charge, what's the first thing you do? Does Bielsa stay? Does Bielsa go?
Oh, well, the first thing is Bielsa stays. In Bielsa we trust. I mean, this man is...
Does he hire another few spies?
Yeah, most definitely. I don't think he needs to. I think they're everywhere. They're everywhere, these spies. Yeah, I think one thing that's, I mean, being genuine, I don't think Bielsa does money. He prefers to use homegrown talent. I think, you know, if you gave Bielsa 200 million, he'd post, I'll just take Jack Harrison back on loan.
Yeah, I have a tin of beans.
I could see that happening, yeah. It does. I mean, like, you know, Pochettino was his understudy. He was doing a great job at Spurs, and he's not spent money. I know they've had the stadium being built, but it's part of his ethos. He develops players. So I don't think we'd hit the transfer market that hard. I do know the club are looking at loans. But Bielsa stays, and in Bielsa we trust. Whatever he does is what we believe in, because he's so infectious as a character. We absolutely love him up here. And like I say, the man is a god up in Yorkshire at the minute. So whatever he does, we're happy. He was our biggest signing, if I'm completely honest. Personally, I 50 grand a week, Dwight Gale. I think that I don't think Newcastle are too keen on him in the Premier League. He's one of those players that can. He's too good for the Championship, and not quite good enough to make a big impact in the
Premier
League.
Right, Mickey, explain this to me, because I said this right at the beginning of the show. I said I want to get into Gale because that's my take. If you look at his figures. Every time, he gets his Premier League move because of a season for Peterborough in the Championship, 19 in 13. He goes to Palace in the Premier League, 7 in 23, 5 in 25, 3 in 16. Then he goes back to the Championship with Newcastle, 23 in 32. Then Premier League with Newcastle, 6 in 35. Then Championship with West Brom, 23 in 39. Why on earth is this bloke so clinical in the second tier and so off the pace at the top tier?
I think part of the reason is the teams he's playing in. He's playing in good teams that create chances in the Championship. And the likes of Newcastle, I know they've actually done quite well this year, but they don't create a vast amount of chances, and I think with Palace as well. So you've got to take your chances when you can. I don't think you get that many. In the Championship, it's a bit more open. There are chances. And you do see a lot of missed chances, actually, in the Championship. So I think that's part of the reason. And to give him a little bit of credit. And also, I think there is a gap, a huge gap, between how good the defenders are and, you know, the pace of the game and also how good the keepers are. You're playing against the best in the world. So, yeah, he's one of those players that in the Championship, he's going to do a job. In the Premier League, I'd be a little bit wary of him having a long contract. I think that he's a good third striker for a Premier League team. I think he's I mean, his record isn't too bad. 3-16 is not great. But, you know, he's looking at 7-23, I think you said. That's not terrible, particularly not for a second or third striker.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And goals are just hard to come by. In the Premier League, you do get teams like, you know, Cardiff this year, who nearly stayed up without hardly scoring. Huddersfield stayed up the previous year and hardly scored any because defensively they're so well drilled. So it is, I think, 50 grand a week. It's 2.5 million a year, you know, give or take. Mm. I think that's worth it personally.
When you've got 400 million, Mickey, from this PSG style investment, it's nothing.
And the rest. Yeah, exactly.
And the rest.
I think he'll keep Mbappe out of the team in the Championship, if I'm honest with you, Dwight Gayle.
Imagine
he's got the credentials, doesn't he?
He has as well. How many has Mbappe scored in the Championship? Not that many.
Exactly.
It's been wonderful chatting to you, Mickey. I just want to leave you with a couple of rumours of players who could be on their way out of Elland Road. I want to get your take on these. Bristol Live are reporting that Kemar Roofe is off to newly promoted Villa. What do you make of that one?
This is my view, and it's also the view of quite a lot of other Leeds fans. We keep the kids and we keep Calvin, and the rest can go.
Really?
100%. Roofe has done a good job for us. He scored 15 last season. A little bit injury prone as well. But I don't mind selling anybody because there's better players than Roofe out there. It sounds harsh, but there are. We keep the kids, we keep the academy, the lifeblood of any club, really. I'm under 23s, won the Championship last season. They were absolutely fantastic. And they've had a full year of Bielsa coaching. So really excited about our academy players. And Calvin Phillips, he can't call an academy player because he's well-established. We've got big problems with releasing Calvin Phillips at Leeds United because he was our best player last year. And I think I'll put my neck out on this one. I think he'll play for England. I think we'll get a cap or two.
That's a big shout. Calvin Phillips for England.
Well, I said it very early about Lewis Cook and I said it very early about Fabian Delph.
Okay.
And I'm saying it now about Calvin Phillips. I said it.
He, of course, is being linked with Villa as well, so you'll have to be careful.
Yeah, Southampton, have offered around 20 million on the rumour mill. So, Calvin would be a huge loss. I think he's irreplaceable at that level. I don't see the point of selling for 20 million because I don't think get a better player for that money.
No, I think that's a good point. What about
the rest of them?
Pontus Janssen, he falls into the rest of them category, but he's a fantastic centre-half. Calcio Mercato reporting he could be off to Benfica. Would you let him go?
Yeah, he's a real legend at Leeds. He's got a lot of passion. He's a mentalist. He's an absolute mentalist. The problem I've got with him is his positioning. He's often a bit hot-headed, and his positioning sometimes is woeful. We've had really, like, you know, like goals over the top, and just like Sunday League, and we've dominated games, and then suddenly it's just someone's out of position, and you're just like, oh, come on. And I think that all the players have done well for us last year, but we dominated the games that much. Tactically, we were so far ahead of everyone else last season. But the players weren't up to it. They weren't good enough. Mm. So, and it, for me, anyone can go.
Well, it's all about holding on to the youngsters. Mickey P. Kerr's Leeds is sounding quite an odd place this summer. We've got massive investment from billionaire owners and also a fire sale. We wouldn't have it any other way, as long as, of course, Bielsa stays. Mickey, lovely to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Mickey P. Kerr there, the stand-up comedian and also, of course, a Leeds fan. We've been talking Kemar Roofe a lot tonight. I think it's probably time we get a line from the club he could be off to. And Aston Villa aren't just in for Leeds players. They're also being linked with Neil Etheridge of Cardiff. They're being linked with Brentford's Neil Morpay. They're looking at the lower level. Is it going to work? We'll be asking Luke Hatfield, who covers Villa for The Express and Star.
This is Love Sport.
Lovely to be joined by Andy Murray on Love Sport Radio this evening. You're listening to Andy Murray and, of course, Johnny Burrow here on Love Sport Radio for your Football League transfer rumour mill. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined on the line by Luke Hatfield, who's a journalist covering Aston Villa for The Express and Star. It's time to turn our attentions to Dean Smith's newly promoted side. Good evening, Luke. Thank you for joining me. Let's start with Neil Etheridge, because Wales Online are reporting that Aston Villa have made an £8 million bid for the Cardiff keeper and it's been rejected. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a deal which we think you know, Villa are keen on. You know, Dean Smith obviously has previous with Neil Etheridge from his time at Walsall. The goalkeeper situation at Villa has been a very, very odd one. You know, we saw Nyland start the season in goal for them, and then we saw Kalinic come in. All the while, Jed Steer was sent on loan to Charlton. He came back, he managed to get the shirt, and then obviously put in some good performances, and he kept the number one shirt right up until the end of the season. And I think a lot of Villa fans are confused by this situation. They don't know who's going to be starting in goal next season. And it seems as though Villa are keen to bring someone in. You know, as I said, Dean Smith knows Neil Etheridge very well. He knows the goalkeeping coach, Neil Cutler. Him and Etheridge know each other very well too. You know, Villa are probably eyeing up another bid now, it looks like. You know, they've seen that £8 million bid rejected. There's a chance they could come back in with another offer, of course. You know, there might be other clubs in for him because, you know, he had a good season, didn't he, the Philippines international?
I mean, he's a fantastic player. He made the second most saves in the Premier League last season. Do you think he'd improve Villa?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a tough one to say because Jed Steer was so good second half of the season for Villa. I mean, part of me thinks, you know, you give him the shirt, win the Premier League, see how he does. But of course, if, you know, Smith and Cutler are looking at him and thinking, well, maybe not, I don't think you can do much worse than someone like Neil Etheridge. I mean, when you see the fees being touted around for the likes of Jack Butland, you know, you're talking reports around £30 million for him. If you can manage to get someone like Etheridge in for, say, £10 million, I mean, it looks like a little bit of a sniff. But, you know, it's one of them you'll see. Will he improve them? You'll have to wait and see, I guess. But he looks like a decent goalkeeper and he looks like one which could do the business in the Premier League.
Mm. Of course, you mentioned there Dean Smith's history with Etheridge at Walsall. Smith is clearly doing a lot of sniffing around his previous employers because he's also, if rumours are to be believed, having a look at some players he used to be in charge of at Brentford. Neil Morpay, of course, was his charge for the first half of this season. Morpay in fantastic form in the Championship, banging in well over 20 goals. Reed Norwich are reporting that Villa are in for Morpay and that Norwich are in for him as well. Do you think he's good enough for Villa?
Well, I mean, there's certainly potential there. When you score that many goals in the Championship, you know, it gets people sniffing around you regardless. You know, the striker situation with Villa, as I said, with the goalkeeping one, is an interesting one because obviously they had Tammy Abraham on loan. He did so well for them. But then you've got the Chelsea situation, which is clouding things. You don't know whether Sarri's going to be staying around. You don't know whether they're going to be under a transfer embargo. So you imagine Villa, you know, will be, you know, keeping an eye on strikers. Morpay, would he fit the bill? I mean, it's an obvious link. You know, he played with Dean Smith previously, you know, and he's had such a good season. He says that he wants to go to the Premier League, of course. You know, whether someone is willing to top up the cash, I mean, I don't know how much Brentford would want for him, but you imagine
20, 25.
Yeah, exactly. So you're talking a lot of money for a striker who hasn't done it in the Premier League yet. But of course, if Tammy Abraham can't happen for Villa, Villa would be keen on that, I imagine. Then they're going to have to look elsewhere.
Do you think he would score goals in the Premier League, Luke? I mean, we've discussed Dwight Gayle a fair bit on the show tonight as an example of a striker who is prolific beyond belief at Championship level, has had chances in the Premier League and has never cut the mustard. Is there anything about Morpay, about, of course, Norwich's star man as well in the form of Timo Pukki? Do you think these guys can necessarily just continue scoring when they come up against better defences, better goalkeepers?
I mean, that's a big question, isn't it, for any team coming up. Can the players who have done the job in the Championship do it in the Premier League? And there's only really one way to find out, which is to give them a go. Mopay, from what I've seen of him, he's a striker with a bit of a mean streak about him. He likes to make, cause havoc in, opposition defences. But as you said, you're not coming up against defences which might not be as strong. You're coming up against the Van Dijks of the world, the Laportes of the world. It's a lot harder to create chances and score goals. And of course, every promoted team, you'd imagine, barring the odd couple, we saw Wolves do so well this season. You think they're going to be in and around the bottom half of the table, trying to fight for points and trying to secure their place in the Premier League. So it's never going to be easy for a striker to do the job right off the bat in the Premier League. But, you never know with these strikers. You can see them come in, you can see them do a fantastic job. Equally, you can see them come in and fail to do the business in the Premier League.
Mm. All of these players, Luke, who I've seen Villa link with in the last couple of days, are either from relegated teams, your Cardiffs, or they're from Championship teams in the form of Leeds, in the form of Aston Villa. Obviously, that's sensible recruitment for Dean Smith, but is solely recruiting players from those kind of backgrounds going to be enough to keep Villa up?
Well, that's another question which, you'll only have to wait and see to find the answer. Dean Smith has spoken about the players he wants to bring in. He wants people who fit in with the atmosphere at Villa. He mentioned the loanees, your Tyrone Mings and the Anwar El Ghazi and Tammy Abraham. He said that all these players have bought into the philosophy at Villa and that they will, he'll rely on signing players with the same ideas. Whether or not they're going to be good enough to cut it is another question. We understand that Hotter from Birmingham City is pretty much looking like he's going to head to Villa. He's poised to head to Villa.
Another former Smith guy at Brentford, of course.
Yeah, of course. And it's a big ask for these players to jump up from the Championship to the Premier League. But until, you see these players in the top flight, you're never going to be able to get a full judgment on them.
It's just a big punt, isn't it? I mean, you're spot on Morpay, but 25 million quid to find out. How's that for a big reveal? Luke, wonderful chatting to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. Luke Hatfield there, who covers Aston Villa for The Express and Star. Interesting that Dean Smith not just going for players at Championship level, but players who he personally has worked with. Maybe that's the key. Maybe this is clever recruitment, because it's not just a Neil Warnock, oh, we played against him and he was decent. This is more detailed than that. The knowledge runs deeper. Smith has worked with these guys day in, day out. He knows that they can do it on the pitch, that they can do it on the training ground. But Luke's point, I hadn't considered, and I think it's massively important. He knows that their attitude is right as well. Fascinating stuff. But the big question, as he left us with, is are they good enough? We only find out when they make that move. And coming up, are there any little gems in League One, in League Two, who could do the same? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Football League Transfer Rumour Mill here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow. And our mission tonight is attempting to identify star players, little hidden gems, diamonds in the rough in the Championship, in League One and League Two, who could do the business at the higher level, at the Championship, perhaps even in the Premier League as well. We've covered those currently playing in the second tier, but what about League One? What about League Two? Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on by a real expert in those areas, James Richards of the D3D4 blog. Good evening, James. Thanks ever so much for joining me. Who stands out? Who could we see in the Championship? Who could we see possibly even jumping straight to the Prem?
Right. thanks for having me on, firstly.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it. The first name that stands out in League One is Matt Clark of Portsmouth. I think everyone would be aware of his quality. I think he's good enough to go straight to the Premier League, personally. Young man, big centre-back, good on the ball, sensible decision-making. Yeah, I think he's certainly good enough to go into sort of a Brighton squad or
Bournemouth,
a lower-end Premier League. Yeah, possibly, exactly. So I think he's the first name I would think of in that category. There are plenty of League One players capable of moving up to the Championship, for sure. I mean, you know, Oxford's Curtis Nelson, who is out of contract this summer, reportedly being tracked by Stoke. I know Ipswich have spoken to him, so that's a possible move potentially for him. Tom Eaves, Charlton, looking at him, the 22 goals in all competition striker that Gillingham had.
How good is Eaves? Because he's had a good few years at League One level and he seems to have never quite got the chance. Could he be prolific in the Championship?
I have my doubts based on his previous record. I think Gillingham is the only team really where he's looked as good as he does now. That doesn't mean to say he's not just suddenly found his best form and can do it at a better level. I'd be interested to see if he does go to Charlton, how he performs in a team that will likely create him more chances. His goal scoring record for Gillingham, considering that they weren't very good going forward and they were pretty poor for a lot of the season, suggests that he has led them brilliantly.
James, how likely is it that Eaves could go to Charlton? I know you've heard that he's training with the club, but what's the state of play with the transfer?
Well, I don't know too much detail. All I know is that he is potentially being given permission to start pre-season with Charlton so that they can take a look at him. If that's the case, then Lee Boy will be able to ascertain whether or not he thinks he's got the ability to play at that level. I mean, I think the fact that he's giving him this opportunity suggests that he believes it already. But Tom Eaves won't be short of offers, that's for sure. He nearly went to Sunderland in January. Ipswich have also shown an interest. Paul Lambert trying to rebuild a squad capable of bouncing straight back. So it doesn't surprise me at all that his name is being linked here, there and everywhere. But yeah, I think Tom Eaves certainly deserves an opportunity to show what he can do. Last two seasons at Gillingham have been brilliant. If anyone hasn't seen his goal that he scored at Portsmouth this season in the away game where Gillingham went to Fratton Park and beat them, I suggest you look it up on YouTube because it's absolutely fantastic. But he's been, you know, he's been pretty decent in that respect all season. Other players, it'll be interesting to see how Sunderland recruit, because they're the kind of team that will look, I think they'll look for the pick of the best in League One and try and build a squad in that way. But I mean, we've seen Rotherham taking an interest in Courtney Senior, who's at Colchester. I think he could play in the Championship next season. So Rotherham are trying to probably get him to their team before any bigger clubs come in. But I mean, you know, George Edmondson is being tracked by a number of clubs. He plays for Oldham, 21-year-old centre-back. Had the pleasure of actually watching a few matches with his dad earlier in the season. And, you know, his progress has been absolutely brilliant to watch. I think Preston have come in. Hull are interested in making a bid for him. But Rangers have already had a 600,000 bid rejected as Oldham try and get the most value out of him. But again, Oldham, if you look at Tarkowski, he's now playing for Birmingham, played for England. He is an Oldham graduate. So Oldham have a very good record of bringing through young players as well. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know any other players that potentially jump out. I mean, you've got so many good potential youngsters, but whether or not the League Two guys would deserve, I mean, Reece Brown at Forest Green, I don't know if you guys are aware of him.
Rings a vague bell, enlighten me.
So he's a very good ball-playing midfielder. Didn't quite make it at Birmingham City, went to Forest Green. Over the last two seasons has been on another level, frankly. He's been linked to Preston. He's been linked to clubs back in the Championship. He's been linked to nearly every club in League One as well. So I don't know who is going to come through with an offer, but I certainly think he'll be playing at least third-tier football next season, if not in the Championship. But he's very, very good. Christian Doidge, of course, did go to the Championship, only for Bolton to be unable to pay his wages. But that's another
always good
tragic story. So he could potentially find a new home this summer, and he deserves an opportunity because he's been very, very good for Forest Green.
Hmm. One name of a club that you mentioned there is Rangers. Now, we're hearing links with certainly Charlton's Joe Aribo to both Celtic and Rangers. How active are you expecting those two big Scottish clubs to be in terms of looking to raid the lower levels?
Yeah, very active. They've already, as I said, made it, Rangers especially, £600,000 bid for George Edmondson of Oldham, credibly linked with Joe Aribo, reportedly looking at a couple of other players sort of in the League One region. I mean, I don't know how much money they've got. I think 600,000 was them putting their maximum bid in. Whether they'll come back, as Oldham holding out for £1 million, I don't know if they'll be able to reach that. Celtic certainly, I think, will financially be able to do a bit more. So whether or not they've got, I mean, Joe Rebo's contract is up, am I right in saying that?
Yes, you are. As things stand, he could sign another one, but it's not looking massively likely. I mean, if you consider that Bowyer himself, the manager at Charlton, has yet to sign a new deal, you'd have thought that has to come first.
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, I'd be interested to see where young players like Elliot Embleton end up. He's at Sunderland in the youth team, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a Rangers or Celtic look at him and think that they can turn him into a very good player. He can play. I mean, he takes corners with his left foot and his right foot, you know, and he's got great vision. And he's only like 20, 21, so a good future ahead of him as well. I'm just trying to think. I mean, there's probably plenty more.
It's not just the youngsters either. I mean, what about John Marquis? He's been in very good form for Doncaster. He's a Millwall lad. Could he head back there?
Possibly. I mean, if Millwall have the finance to do it, then he might be interested in going back there. Obviously, Sunderland were very interested in bringing him in January when they ended up going for Will Grigg and paying a lot more, I think, than they probably would have liked. But John Marquis, I think, he's a top-end League One striker and deserves, again, another one of these guys who deserves an opportunity to try out the Championship. He hasn't necessarily always impressed. But I mean, he's coming to his own in the last few years. Mm. So it's difficult to compare the previous John Marquis attempts at playing in the second tier with how he is now. I think he's developed his game so much since then that this is his real opportunity. It's always very tempting to look at just the top scorers and, you know, the sort of the star players. But, you know, there are some, I mean, you know, we saw Christian Bailick at Charlton last season, obviously. Yeah, I think he could get his opportunity to play probably in the Premier League on loan summer next season. I don't see him playing for Arsenal.
No,
frankly, I think that'd be a little bit ambitious, but he's certainly good enough to play.
He's a fantastic player.
We think
he really is.
Great player,
James. It's been wonderful talking to you. Thanks for your time. Just leave us with, if you had to give me the one player, and I know this is a hard thing to do, but the one player in Division 3 or Division 4 most likely to get a chance at Premier League level, who would you say?
I couldn't go against Matt Clark, if I'm honest. I mean, there's no player I would choose other than him to go straight into a Premier League side right now. I think he's that good. And I think he might just do that. I mean, Portsmouth know they're going to get some offers. But yeah, Matt Clark for me has been the most outstanding defender that I've seen at this level for several years, to be quite honest.
Well, you heard it here first. Portsmouth young centre-half Matt Clark could be on his way to the Premier League. James Richards of the D3D4 blog there. James, thanks ever so much for your time. Lovely to speak to you as ever. That's it on tonight's Football Transfer Rumour Mill. Of course, our Football League special. The message is clear. There is talent there in the Championship. There's talent there in League One, and there could even be talent there in League Two. But you've got to be careful. You've got to look elsewhere as well. But above all, you've got to be brave and you've got to take a risk. Join me next time.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.